News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Very, very cool conversation with John Rogers. It's amazing how in the weeds they can go. And, you know, it's what's also funny, too, is, okay, they polled 400 likely voters. 400. That feels like, okay, can you really get a good cross-sampling with 400? It's amazing what they can do with that, though. Because what they do is they run it against demographics and trends, and they basically come up with data using their algorithms, and bam, craziness happens. Now, I've also had some bad polls. I mean, I used to joke that if, you know, polls were always to be believed, I never would have been elected, and neither would Donald Trump. But that being said, what's also funny is when you study what we called the crosstabs a moment ago, when you dig down in the weeds and you look at it and you go, man, okay, so I'm doing great with this demographic, but I need to focus more on this demographic. And if I can raise that demographic up 2%, my overall goes to here. And, oh, my favorable versus unfavorable is where I want it to be. So I need to have some happy glossy commercials that make me look like a nice guy. And so you wind up, when you dig into the crosstabs, that's where you get to the science, man. That's when you get into the meat of what a pollster can actually tell you. When they examine, they truly analyze the analytics, if you will. All right, other things that are happening. I've got this whole section here called Hot Takes in Alabama Politics. Here's one. Sticking with that Casey Wardinsky-Dale Strong race, interesting piece on Yellowhammer, the one that also had that poll we talked about. Segue to that is that the second half of the story says that there is a legal claim being made by the Dale Strong campaign against ads that are being run on behalf of the Wardinsky campaign. So there's an ad that was released by House Freedom Action. It's the political arm of the House Freedom Caucus. You may remember that Casey Wardinsky has been endorsed by the Freedom Caucus, which is, you know, that's where Mo Brooks is. That's where people like Rand Paul and Jim Jordan and others are. They're the most conservative members of Congress. Anyway, the ad released by House Freedom Action features a narrator saying that Strong, quote, supported higher taxes, quote, caved to the woke liberals, and, quote, shunned President Trump, with the former president saying the word weak in between each claim. So now what's happened is, and this is the way it works, if you run a nasty ad campaign, you can't back it up, or if the opponent believes that it is absolutely egregious and needs to be addressed, you get cease and desist letters. We talked about those on the show before. So the attorneys for the Strong campaign is the law firm of Wilmer and Lee, great firm out of Huntsville. Right down off the square. But Wilmer and Lee has sent a cease and desist letter to all of the local television stations telling them they should refuse to continue to air the advertisement until and unless it's corrected. All right. That's happening right now. Hot takes in Alabama politics. There's one. Here's another one. You heard about the situation the other day. We talked about it on the show quite a bit of the former executive director of the Democratic Party in Alabama tweeting out that he liked Katie Britt because she was so helpful in what he called the Doug Jones thing, meaning that he believes she was helpful getting Doug Jones elected. That's not good. Well, what is happening already is the trend in conversations is moving towards, all right, do we have to have a closed primary? Do we have to have people register as our party to be allowed to vote in the Republican or Democrat primaries in Alabama? Well, according to 1819 News, our buddy Jeff Poor, who's going to be on in a little while with the Grand Council, Jeff Poor writes that the Baldwin County, down the coast, GOP Chairman Michael Hoyt is calling for closed party primaries. Says that he was on the Jeff Poor show the other day and said, principally, I would be in favor of having a closed primary. He said, I think the party and the members of the party should choose who their nominees are, and that shouldn't be for people, for Democrats or Libertarians or whatever, coming over. And in my words now, I'm Mrs. Phil talking, jumping in, trying to influence the outcome of another party's primary. Hoyt said he anticipated the Alabama Republican Party to take a look at the closed primary system in its summer meeting later this year. Yep. I got several other things. One I was going to point out to you, I mean, I got some endorsements here. They're more localized. I've got more on that Katie Britt thing, which is not worth rehashing again. I got Ray Mellick from 1819 News talking about the fact that super PACs, the third most expensive race in the entire nation right now in terms of super PAC spending, is the Brooks-Britt race. $24.5 million being spent by organizations from outside of Alabama trying to influence that U.S. Senate race. And he asked the question, why? Why would that be? Why? Because we're a red state, it's going to be a Republican no matter what. So apparently these super PACs have a more of an ideological stance. They want a certain kind of Republican. That's the only thing you could take from it. All right. Hey, and listen, by the way, Mo Brooks was on MSNBC last night. I personally thought he did a pretty good job and gave it as good as he got. And I might cover more of that later. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. This show is flying by, Copper. It's 3:35 already. How does that even happen?
We had some good guests.
Yes, we did. John Rogers, great guest. And then we also had Will Blakely in from 1819 News on that breaking story about the shooting at Walnut Park Elementary in Gadsden. By the way, in case you did not hear that, Walnut Park Elementary, just a sweet little elementary school. I'm very familiar with it. But it was part of my Senate district when I was in the legislature, and nobody was, no kids, no teachers, no staff were injured. It appears that all procedures were put in place well. The SRO confronted the man who was trying to find his way into the school. The confrontation apparently got ugly, and the individual was shot and killed in an officer-involved shooting. So, don't know any more details than that, but you can just rest assured that that the children and the teachers and all are all okay. So that's that. Hey, let me do this. I am going to go ahead and jump on that segment that I've been toting around now for a couple of days. Where are the Warriors? Where are the Warriors? And I say that not like they're not out there, because they are. Because I'll be honest with you, when I do this, by the way, when I go down a list of grievances about things that are being done to our military, I am not at all reflecting upon the average Joe and Jane that joins the military, whether they be officer or enlisted, doesn't matter. We've got the finest military in the world, and keep in mind that when people join the U.S. military, they join of their own free will. It is done, you know, what the Rangers would call sua sponte, meaning this I do freely of my own accord. And so this is a reflection now of what's coming from the top down, especially when you've got a extremely liberal administration that decides that it feels like, what's the term I used earlier, that the military becomes their petri dish for growing social experimentation. And that happens, man. So right now, here's a story I got off military.com. Troops are alleging that the military's COVID vaccine mandate, which is still a thing, by the way, it's still out there. This story is only about a month old. Troops alleging that the military's COVID vaccine mandate is a religious purge. Now, granted, this is a lawsuit, and so they're making their claims, but we have right now three active duty service members who came on a podcast not long ago with Representative Matt Gaetz and accused the Department of Defense, according to MilitaryTimes.com, of using COVID-19 vaccine mandates to intentionally purge religious service members. One of them, Air Force Captain Jordan Carr, said, if you're a believer and you're listening to this podcast, you need to understand that God-fearing service members are being intentionally purged from the services. I can't say that because I'm not privy to those behind-the-scenes conversations, but I can tell you, though, that when you look at the numbers, I mean, for instance, you know, 3,400 troops have been discharged for refusal to get vaccinated just in the last year. And when you look at it, you find that the vast majority of those were because they sought a religious accommodation that was not granted. I've got another story here. Where'd it go? Yes, it is. This one came off of AirForceTimes.com. Slightly older, from earlier this year. Unvaccinated airmen seek a restraining order in federal class action lawsuit. In this particular case, 9 service members, most of whom are Air Force pilots. One's an F-16 pilot, another is a T-6 instructor pilot, another F-16 pilot. Anyway, this group of pilots and a few other non-piloting Air Force personnel, they filed suit claiming that they need a restraining order because literally seeking a religious accommodation has become a joke. It says right here, this is as of January, 85 religious accommodations have been approved as of May. January. Okay, I got my dates wrong. 85 religious accommodations have been approved as of May when the Air Force most recently updated statistics. Almost 8,900, that's 8,900, were turned down, including more than 2,700 appeals that were also denied. When you see a number with that broad of a spectrum, you begin to realize that the preponderance of the weight is sitting all on one side. And so when you try to prove things somewhat circumstantially, you have no choice but to look at numbers. And these numbers are telling us clearly that if you're applying for a religious accommodation on the vaccination in the military, it's almost a blanket denial, and it's ridiculous. Here's another story, though, that I got just today. I get a newsletter from an organization called STARS. That's STARRS, and STARS stands for, oh goodness, now I just forgot, but it's basically pushing back against woke agendas in the military. It's a group of retired officers that have put this together. And STARS has a story out today at the Air Force Academy. The Air Force Academy has fired a former Air Force Academy grad who has been an outstanding coach, and she's also a Gold Star widow herself, just 2 months before retirement because she refused COVID vaccine. Says the award-winning 2006 Air Force Academy graduate, an Afghanistan veteran herself, and Gold Star widow, and currently the only female coach on the track and field staff at the Air Force Academy, was harassed and is being separated just 2 months before retirement eligibility due to not taking the COVID vaccine. Her name is Dana Lyon. Dana Lyon was a two-time NCAA javelin champion, an Academy, the Air Force Academy record holder, a three-time All-American. She captured multiple national and international titles, and she was only 2 inches short of her javelin throw, making the U.S. 2008 Olympic team. She graduated from the Air Force Academy. She was deployed to Afghanistan in 2013. Her husband was also deployed there in a different location, and he was killed in action. She escorted his body home herself. And after that tour, she was encouraged to seek work at the academy, and so she applied for and she received a transfer, and she became a coach at the academy. Well, in 2015, she was even added to the Air Force Academy Athletics Hall of Fame. She separated from the Air Force in 2017 to pursue a full-time coaching career there as a civilian contractor. And as a civilian coach, she submitted a religious accommodation request, and she was subjected to harassment by people who would shout at her, other staff members, claiming that she didn't care about the kids, the cadets. The cadets, though, have written letters on her behalf claiming that she was one of their, you know, most admirable instructors. And she said that literally her boss had stood up for her, but her boss died unexpectedly and tragically. And once he was gone, there was no one there to get her back, and she was called in and summarily fired. Amazing. And yet, here I've got another story. So we are losing good quality people left and right in the military because of a vaccine that doesn't stop them from getting it. It doesn't. All it does is say, I don't know, makes you have smaller symptoms, really? I mean, that's what we're, how many times have you seen this? It's almost gotten to be a joke. Well, I've got COVID, but thank God I was vaccinated and boosted. Well, that's not encouraging. Why is that a selling point? Well, you know, it turns out I tested pregnant. It's a good thing that, you know, we had had certain things done in the past that otherwise I'd have been more pregnant. No, it doesn't work that way. If this COVID vaccine is really not doing its job in terms of prevention, and you can get it even when you've been vaccinated and boosted, then why are we ending people's military careers, who, by the way, we spent millions to train? At the same time, story from the Army Times, dated 2 days ago. New policy keeps HIV-positive troops deployable and bars involuntary separation. Okay. Okay. Do you see what's happening here? The COVID vaccine is still the hot item. It's the mandate. It's the Biden administration's, you know, anti-Trump card. But now you can be HIV positive and stay in the service. In fact, you can stay deployable. And by the way, I'm not commenting on HIV right now. What I'm commenting on is the lack of congruity in the policies. If HIV, which can be fatal, and COVID, which very rarely but sometimes can be fatal, are both endemic to our society to some degree, and you can keep one service member in but not the other, then I question the decision-making. What are you doing? What are you doing to our warriors right now? All right, listen. Let's move on from that. It's not just about COVID vaccines. It's about other things. I told you I had this article, and I read a quote from it earlier. Townhall.com, a guy named Will Alexander, a former Marine himself, wrote a piece just 3 days ago. It's an opinion piece, so take that with a grain of salt if you want to. But I don't disagree with it. The title of it is Pure Politics is Feminizing the Marine Corps. He points out something that I brought up on the show last week. He says, the Marine Corps tweeting out honors to Pride Month with crayon-like rainbow bullets banded to a helmet was a historic moment because it signaled, at least for the hand-picked top brass, that the Democrats' long war to get LGBTQ members to serve openly in the military is finally over. It's been a triumph, not for national security, but of pure politics, he says. He goes on to say, the Corps was a hard nut to crack, but it cracked. And he says, with two sentences, Earth's manliest fighting force surrendered the demands of life's most brutal profession to the cartoonish frivolities of leftist politics. He says, this is military suicide. You don't need a study or a poll or some egg-headed expert to tell you that. It's just common sense. And he says, rank-and-file Marines are being asked, no forced, he says, to suspend common sense, ignore human nature, and justify a lifestyle that's trying to create loopholes in divine law. More importantly for the military, he says, Marines are being asked to pretend that being indoctrinated into the LGBTQ agenda has no effect on them. He talks about the fact that when he was a Marine and had to serve ship duty, you would literally have to take what's called a Navy shower. I've talked to guys that went through this. When you're on sea duty and fresh water is limited while you're at sea, he says literally you had 40 guys standing there buck naked in the line waiting for their 2-minute shower. You jump in, you turn the water on to get wet, you turn it off to lather, you turn it back on to rinse, and you turn it off for the next Marine. And then you get out. 2 minutes. Can you imagine total integration when that's the way you have to live on a ship? Don't tell me it won't be a distraction. Don't tell me it won't cause problems. Don't tell me there won't be issues. Go ahead. I mean, he points out. He says, go ahead and put a transgender male in that position, standing there in the line with the rest of them, buck naked, waiting on their 2-minute shower. Good luck with that. Either that, or you have to create separate facilities on the ship. And bam, once again, you've got issues. Well, there we are. And this kind of thing is happening all along. Now, Fox News is reporting as of yesterday, military recruitment is lagging despite reduced targets and record incentives to boost interest. They call it a recruits market. Basically, if you want to join the military right now, man, they got bonuses like you wouldn't believe. And they're still having trouble meeting their targets. So I'll tell you what, Copper, go ahead and take us to a break. We'll do the break right now. We'll come back and I'll keep this up. With what is it they're doing with woke agendas to our warriors? Where are the warriors right now? Where are the warriors among the top brass who will stand up and say, listen, stop. We got to win wars. That's what we're here for. We're going to kill people and break things. You know, if you want to use the military as the arm of diplomacy, understand it's the 5-5-6 version of diplomacy. And oh, by the way, it's not supposed to be your petri dish for social experimentation. All right, I've made everybody mad today. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Tell you what, I'm gonna work my way through the latter part of this section I'm doing right now, the triple dipper called Where Are the Warriors? And I say that, where are the warriors, not like they don't exist. I'm saying it more along the lines of the top brass who continue to allow the military without refute, without saying much about it, just kind of going along blithely saying, you know, okay, we got to go woke, fellas. Let's make sure we do away with people who don't want to take a COVID shot, even though it doesn't stop you from getting COVID and it won't stop you from, you know, it won't kill you, generally speaking, because the healthiest among us, the ones who are taking the PT test on a regular basis, the ones who have an active lifestyle like the military provides, they tend to be the ones that have the fewer comorbidities that COVID can complicate. And yet we're getting rid of all of them. We're not allowing their religious accommodations, but we're keeping those who have HIV. Okay. I guess there's just a difference in handling things now. Here's the other one, though. Military recruitment lags despite reduced targets and record incentives to boost interest, according to Fox News. Story out just in the last few days says the military is now touting that it's a recruits market. This should attract fresh blood into its ranks. And it says, you know, the Major General Edward Thomas Jr., he's the commander of Air Force recruiting. He says, in real estate, you talk about a buyer's and a seller's market. He says, you know, this is a recruiting market right now. There's great opportunities to serve and good incentive to do so. Says the military did face a drop-off in recruitment during the pandemic. They believe that not being able to, you know, have one-on-one interaction between recruiters and students caused a bunch of that. I can see that. It's what happens when you shut down society. But he says also, here's another thing, though. He says today, 77%, he says, of American youth age 17 to 24 do not qualify to serve the United States military without a waiver. 77%, he continued. And that's based on a variety of different reasons, from being overweight to medical issues to academic issues to behavioral issues, mental health issues. It's a wide variety, with 77% who don't qualify without a waiver. And Thomas went on and admitted the perception around the military withdrawal from Afghanistan may have also impacted recruitment in the last 6 months. You think? So, yeah. The military had to drop its recruiting goals in order to make their new goals. Basically, they had to lower the standards to meet their goals. Next story I've got here, though, I mentioned this briefly yesterday. The Army Times is reporting across service lines here, the Coast Guard offers vegan food tasty enough to win a PETA award. Yes, you heard all that right. The Army Times reporting that the Coast Guard is offering vegan food, which is tasty enough to win awards from the liberal activist organization called PETA. It says the People for Ethical Treatment of Animals, or PETA, and the U.S. military are not exactly known for getting along. But the U.S. Coast Guard, which is technically under the Department of Homeland Security instead of the DOD, has earned a place in PETA's heart, it says. Its Yorktown Training Center embraced vegan food options in its dining and thereby winning it a prestigious Proggy Award, whatever that is. I guess it's something PETA gives out, which is short for progress. The Proggy Award. It's a cute name. Yorktown Training Center launched the program during COVID when vegan trainees were unable to leave the base to seek alternative food sources. Let me just go ahead and make a point here. If you're a trainee going into the military and you don't like the food that they serve you at the mess hall, suck it up and eat what's there. When they put it on your tray, that's your meal. If you look at your drill sergeant and say, I'm actually a vegan, do we have any alternatives? Maybe you're in the wrong place. Maybe you're in the wrong, what are you going to do, Coast Guard cadet, when you're out, you know, on offshore duty and you're out there for, you know, weeks at a time on drug interdiction missions? Are you going to have to be vegan or you're not going to be able to make it? I mean, this is ridiculous. This is called over-accommodation. Where are the warriors? Who decided that, I mean, I guess this is fine. I'm not, by the way, if they want to serve vegan, I could care less. But if they're doing it trying to accommodate trainees who are worried because they can't leave base to get other alternative food sources, first of all, when you're a trainee, why are you leaving base in the first place? Whole thing just jacks up. Well, I didn't even get to the best stuff. Air Force combat controllers and the best Ranger competition. I'll touch on that later. Coming up next, though, we got the Grand Council with my brethren Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson and me, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We will be right back.